Scoundrel is such an old-fashioned word. I mean, who uses it anymore? Are there scoundrels today? We thought so. We looked no further than the world of political opposition research, shadowy political operatives who dig up the muck on a candidate's opponents, those running for office. Adultery, back taxes, DUIs, illegitimate children, you name it, they find it. And Strangechamps caught up with an opposition researcher named Alan Huffman for a primer on the dark side of American politics. He's the co-author of We're With Nobody, and asked what his clients expect.
Well, the expectation is that we'll deliver a bombshell about their opponent, which doesn't happen as often as you might think. But the candidate is going to expect us to at least portray their opponent in a way that they can be able to use in the campaign. But what most people don't realize is that we also do this to the candidate we're working for. You know,
That must be an unwelcome discovery.
Oh, yeah. We don't win a lot of popularity contests. You know, we see everybody naked, and for better or worse. And so when we turn in our reports, we're going to tell you everything that you need to know about your opponent, but also everything you need to know about yourself.
So what happens when you're sitting across from a candidate and you have to slide a folder across the desk and you have to say, "And I think you might want to take a look at what's in here," and it's all about them?
It's awful. That's our least favorite part of the job, because the candidate never wants to hear what is wrong with him. And they have to do it, because that way they'll know what the other side has got. Because the other side has got somebody just like us out there doing the exact same things. And sometimes we actually catch their scent. You know, we'll be in a courthouse and they'll say, "Well, somebody was in here yesterday asking for the exact same information." So you know they're out there, and that's why the candidate has to do it. But it doesn't make it any more pleasant when you have to say, "Oh, by the way, you've been late paying your taxes four times, and they're overdue right now, and maybe you should go over there like this afternoon."
Did that actually happen to you?
That actually happened. And I mean, it comes with the territory. And what's surprising is, you know, you often hear from the candidate, "Why should I hire you to tell me about myself?" And, you know, where do we start? Because so many people, either don't remember the things that they've done, or haven't put them in context to see what the ramifications might be politically, or sometimes they have intentionally concealed it because they're hoping no one will find it. So,
have you wound up, you must have been in situations where you're working for somebody, a candidate, and partway through the research you think, you know, this guy's really a slime ball?
Yes. It's inevitable, right? I mean, your party is not always right. And even if you agree with what the person represents, it doesn't mean that they're a good potential leader. So, yeah. And you know what? Usually when that happens, they lose. You know, Michael and I, we can usually spot it, and we'll say, you know what, the opponent is the stronger of the two. And in most cases, not always, but in most cases, the opponent wins.
But on the other hand, there must be plenty of times when, you know, you provided some information and then later, I don't know, you're sitting in a bar and you watch some horrible attack ad come on for which you know that you provided the information.
Right. Well, yeah, sometimes we watch on the news and we'll say, okay, yeah, that's good. They seized on the right thing and the voters embraced it and that was that. But oftentimes we'll see the opposite. We'll see the ad where our side or the other side distorts, you know, the findings. We're trained in the print media, so we're not used to speaking in 15 and 20 second sound bites. And so when we see our work reduced, we inevitably cringe, because there's always more to the story than that. But sometimes they're right on, and that kind of is fulfilling for us.
Really? So even if it's a really horrible ad that's attacking another candidate, but you think they got the facts right, you feel proud of that?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, for example, we did a campaign where this guy had failed to pay his taxes, had bought a yacht during the same period he wasn't paying his taxes. He had borrowed a state-owned RV that was supposed to be used for disaster response, driven it to a NASCAR race with his buddies, had wrecked it, had sentenced a guy to 1 year in prison for child molestation when he could have sentenced him to 14 years. The guy got out in a year and murdered a priest. And so, yeah, all this is really negative stuff, right? And we were very happy when all that came out. Because if there's anything you need to know about a guy who you're thinking about selecting as a leader, those are things you need to know.
I guess one of the things I found so interesting reading your book is, you know, on the one hand, like everybody else in America, I've seen more than my fair share of negative campaign ads. So I was expecting the book to be full of, you know, you're skulking around back alleys and paying people to give you interesting information. And no, you're spending all your time in kind of white-collar clerical offices paging through mind-numbing descriptions of, you know, tax records.
Well, not all of our time. As you know from reading the book, that is certainly the part that most people don't think about, that we do, yeah, we're going through the tree pruning committee minutes and trying to find some example of someone making a misstep. And that, and you do, you spend days going through these records. But you also, as we describe in the book, you know, we end up sitting on the porch of a trailer with a guy that has a shotgun across his lap because he thinks someone's going to kill him for talking to us. And we get followed by a couple of thugs in a rusty pickup truck for days, or maybe if it's in a big city, some guy in a Lincoln Town Car that every time we look back, he's back there. So, you know, there's a lot at stake in politics, and we get threatening phone calls and these sorts of things. And it's really it's a mix of these sorts of episodes and then the boring tedium. But the things that we look for when we see someone trying to intimidate us or throw obstacles in our path, it just tells us we're getting warm.
How secretive are you about what you're doing?
We used to be a lot more secretive than we are now. I mean, we still will be if the candidate is sensitive to that. But when we started out doing this, the danger was that your opponent would come out with hold a press conference and say that his opponent, who is our guy, has hired private investigators to smear me, and you know, and everyone was kind of afraid of that. But now everyone knows that it's done. I mean, you know, if especially look at this particular Republican presidential primary, opposition research is sort of in the lexicon now and in the public mind. People know that it is done and everybody does it. So it's not really, it doesn't have that sort of secret air about it that it once did. But needless to say, you know, the truth can be painfully shy. So we don't make a big deal about it when we're digging. That is still an issue for us. We drift into town. We ask our questions, we get our records, and we move on. And most of the time, no one's ever even going to know we were there.
It's kind of like these, I don't know, sinister political hitmen roaming the landscape of America.
Yeah, people say, oh, it's so glamorous. It's like espionage. And I'll say, yeah, it's like espionage in the sense of two middle-aged spies roaming the Midwest in a rented Hyundai.
Yeah, Alan, we're talking to you in the context of a show on scoundrels, and frankly, I suggested getting you on because I thought an opposition researcher, that seems kind of like somebody who's sort of professionally paid to be a scoundrel, but you sound really moral and upright.
Well, of course. Why would I indicate otherwise? No, I appreciate the vote of confidence, but you know, I can certainly see the argument being made that we're part of an overall negative process. But our position really is that it's just about determining what's true. And I mean, that sounds really lofty and it sounds a little suspicious, seeing as how we work in politics. But it is possible to get to the bottom of things. It is possible to find out who these people are who are proposing to lead you and pass laws that are going to govern your life. I mean, you can find out about them. And it's easier actually now than it used to be. I mean, there's so many, every state has an open records law. A lot of it is available online. There are websites that do nothing but validate, you know, vet basically statements by candidates and that sort of thing. So the irony is that at this time when there's so many people putting untruths and half-truths out there, that we're really in a point where it is possible to find out what's true. So yeah, you could argue that we're kind of scuzzy. We're just out there, you know, looking for trouble, trying to make life miserable for everybody. And I understand that people see that in what we do. But what we're driven by is just finding out what the truth is. Unfortunately, we have no control over it once we create that document and turn it over, we're done. It's someone else's job, and anything can happen from that point on.
Alan Huffman is the co-author of We're With Nobody. Two insiders reveal the dark side of American politics, and Strange Champ spoke with him.